All right, boys and girls. No, ARPs. Nobody has said anything yet until me just now. And I'll wait for people to get here a second before we get started. Okay, so as you guys may or may not realize, if you're not in Freedomland or Canada, it is July 4th today, so it is Freedom Day. And I expect some people are going to be out there shooting fireworks. Some of you guys are just filtering in back from owning that Stormbringer. It wasn't quite a Stormbringer fleet, but it's hard to not see them all. Like, they're bringing more Stormbringers, which I think is great, and we should continue to gank the shit out of them, because Gobbins is giving us a fucking gift there. So, yeah, we'll get into it in a little bit here when the numbers stabilize. Deep voice this morning. Have I had any water to drink lately? I'm sipping on my morning for me coffee here. We're going to do a lot more Q&A this time, because last week was super herverty blurf, and after making many loud noises, I sent everybody off to go do things, which is great, but we're going to make sure to do some Q&A stuff. All right. So last week, one of the recurring themes was that the Rigo Inquista will not be televised. And I said it over and over and over again, and that's still true. The Rigo Inquista will not be televised, and that's important for everybody to understand that. If you are waiting for a personal handwritten invitation on a fireside chat to get out there and fight the bad guys, you're not going to receive it. We're not going to be sending broadcasts or pings or anything that says, here's what our offensive plans are, or even acknowledging an offensive. There will come a point in this war where we are screaming from the rooftops about the Rigo Inquista and all that other kind of stuff, but that is not this time. If there is anything like that, it will not be televised. So you guys have already kind of gotten the memo. There's a wide variety of fleets out there. It's just that we are not necessarily putting the labels on the broadcasts of what those fleets are doing at even any given time. And that's important. We know that our enemies have pretty bad intel, and we want to keep it that way. So we're not going to be spelling out what we're doing, especially as we are in what I would describe as the rice fields phase of the war, as in welcome to the rice fields, motherfucker. So when we're talking about like war phases and stuff like that, I think it's important for everybody to understand, especially if you've been doing this for more than an hour. I guess this is the official 1 year anniversary of the war, but the unofficial war, the real war actually began in late May and all through June in the leading up to this. But, we had the official July 5th nip slip last year on this day. It's pretty fucking cool because we're still here. And for some reason, it seems like the bad guys aren't having too much fun. I don't really understand. I was pretty sure a year ago, Villian Crew said that we would be fucked sideways by now. But here we are. So I want to talk about phases in general in the war. From the beginning, and this is sort of important historical context, I think. And let me make sure I'm not getting yelled at another channel before I get going. Okay. Got a question here from John Spaceman saying, tell us about equilibriums. I'm not going to tell you about containment or equilibriums or influence or anything like that. But I want to, since we have been here for a year now, and some of you are skipping holiday festivities to be here on this fireside, let me take us back a year ago. So one of the biggest things that I've noticed about this war is that our enemies are the entire rest of the game. And that sucks, but on the other hand, it means that they are relatively predictable just due to mass and hubris and things like that. And if you go all the way back, before we sounded the Horn of Gundor, right when we were announcing our withdrawal from Cloud Ring, and sort of getting ready for this whole thing, my descriptions, my predictions of where this war would go and what would happen haven't changed too much, which is, kind of weird from my perspective, because I'm sort of sitting here in like the metagame hot seat. And, you expect a little bit more bobbing and weaving. But essentially what we said a year ago has come to pass. We would withdraw and go into siege mode and start trying to make sure that our fortresses and our floodplains were ready to rock. We would drag this out because there were 3,300 enemies turning up every fucking weekend in fleets trying to ruin us. We would drag them through the mud of our citadel creep. We would get to a point where we could have a decisive supercap battle or two. Then we would hell camp them, and then we would see what happens after that. Then, maybe we sweep them out of our region, or in this case, after our decisive supercap battle, it's taken about 6 months for them to kind of peter out here, finally, at the Gates of Fortress Delve. So what are those phases now that we're here? The phase that we have been in for the last couple months is what I would call the Walls of Constantinople phase. And this is not the when Constantinople falls part, but for all those bits for hundreds of years where you have these amazing fucking walls around the Eternal City, and it stands up to basically everything. And the phase after the Walls of Constantinople, that's the 1DQ1 constellation, where... you know, I really thought that they would have gotten 3D or innate, right? All of our internal plans thought that we would floodplain them until we got them to this point. Then we'd do really, really hard defense, just be absolutely psychopathic about posting up the walls and our vulns. And you know, I figured, you know, shit happens. It's EVE Online. So like you have to plan for multiple layers of things going horrifically fucking wrong. And as a result, our plans included, after the Walls of Constantinople phase, if they broke into 3D or into innate or whatever, we would then be at the Defense of Terra phase. We're into old school 40K nerd here, territory here. So after Walls of Constantinople would be Defense of Terra, which is when, you know, they've broken through the walls and we're retreating towards 1DQ1 and doing further defense in that constellation. And then, of course, the phase after that would have been the Defense of the Imperial Palace. But they never got that. They never got to that part. So our glorious predictions and our schemes relating to the Defense of Terra and the assault on the Imperial Palace didn't happen. You know, who knows? Maybe that'll happen yet and we will falter and we will fail and blah, blah, blah. But who am I kidding here? So where do you go after the Walls of Constantinople phase if the bad guys are setting themselves on fire, pissing and shitting themselves and crying about CCP right in front of the gates of Gundor? Because the next phase after Walls of Constantinople, like doing the pivot, is not the Regunquista, right? Like that would be way too premature. And one of the things that I've seen in the last month plus, and I've said this on Firesides, like you guys have heard this before, is that I told you that the enemy would scream and cry and insist that we proceed to sally forth from 1DQ and attack them and burn T5ZI. And I've told you week after week that T5ZI Keepstar will die last because it's my special friend. I love the T5ZI Keepstar. It just shits out value for us every day because it's one of the biggest strategic overreaches that they've ever done. And the fact that they're begging us to sally forth and attack it tells you everything, right? Like they are desperate for us to get out there, overreach, fuck up, attack their golden bridge, and then give them an opportunity to have a surge in their participation, because that's exactly what would happen. And that's precisely why I've told you guys from the beginning, we are not going to be doing this. Our enemies were fools and they decided to attack our golden bridge of retreat and blow it up, which I was perfectly fine with, because then we're all committed to the Walls of Constantinople. There's no golden bridge, there's no retreat. But we're not going to be dumbasses like Vili and do Vili plans. We're not going to blow up their golden bridge of retreat. So T5ZI will die last. And it's been kind of fun to just sort of see these predictions play out. But where are we if we're not really, you know, we're still in Walls of Constantinople in the sense that, like, in the U.S. time zone, we have to keep eyes on. I'm not too worried about these fucking jacked off fleets or retribution fleets that they're trying to send at us, or Gobbins's latest like alliance tournament micromanagement PIFA masturbation nonsense, right? Which is these fucking Stormbringers they just chucked at us that Elo and you guys just hazed. So that's cool. But what comes next is what I'm calling the rice fields phase. Welcome to the rice fields, motherfucker, is the old school meme. And we want to get real old school about it. This is what I would describe as some VCB shit. What we are doing right now is some VCB stuff here in Vietnam. And that means that, again, the Regunquista will not be televised. Like, we're doing things and doing stuff, but we are firmly in the rice fields phase. I'm not going to say why. There is evidence to point to about how we are in the rice fields phase, and we know it. We have talked about it amongst ourselves. You guys have seen it with your own eyes. But I'm not going to spell it out on a fucking Fireside Chat because this is one. This turns out to be one of the main sources that the enemy gets of intel from us, because their spy network sucks so many balls that in many cases, unless I tell them exactly what we're going to be doing, they only get the Firesides and what I say on the Firesides, and they get the descriptions in our pings. But you can kind of figure it out. I mean, do the math. You guys have been here before. You know what this kind of pivot looks like. If you've been through a hell war before and you can see the tide turning, the tide is turning. I'm delighted about it. Welcome to the rice fields, motherfucker. So that's why I want to encourage people to get out there and join fleets whenever they see them. We're in a phase here where if you are burned out and you need to, like,
rest up, right? Like if you have been like, oh my god, I can't, you know, I'm sick of EVE Online. We haven't been pushing this too hard because we haven't needed to, because by now, after a year of war, I think everybody's gotten into the rhythm of like, there are times where you can burn the candle at both ends, and there's times where if you need to relax and get some sleep, you can do it. And we've been doing that for the last couple of weeks, and people have naturally, I found myself just getting excited to rush to my battle station to see if Piggles or Gobbins was going to feed us some dumbass fleet for us to fire up the wood chipper. After a while, when you don't get to fire up the wood chipper, you're like, where are they? Are we not doing fighter swarms anymore or whatever? And then thankfully, you know, Gobbins has his Alliance Tournament kind of ideas and is going to give us some Magi and some Stormbringers and who knows what else. So I'm happy with that. And I've been happy with the way in which been pacing themselves, the way in which our people have been pacing themselves. And that's cool and good. So I want to take a chance here and pause to talk about the Ricefields thing and answer any questions about this before I move on to the next bullet point. Bear with me for a second, guys. We're making dead puppies with the rice. We're going to grab them by the fucking belt and make dead puppies. So one of the things that I have noticed is... I mean, actually, there's really not too much to say about rice fields. Like, there's pings, go on them. There's never been a better time to practice your F2, right? Like, we are developing a whole bunch of interesting capabilities that we're not going to be talking about here. A lot of that involves opportunities for you as an individual line pilot to work on your F2, to get some ganking skills, to get some traps in internet space skills, to do all sorts of interesting things that are happening on these various fleets, which I encourage everyone to go on if you're charged up. If you're exhausted, now's the time for you to get a rest. I don't think many of us are exhausted, because even though it's fucking July 4th here, there's 814 of you on this fireside, so that's super fucking cool, and I appreciate that. I think that because the enemy backed off their op tempo, we have had a chance to rest and recharge our guys, and that's why it's like, ooh, hey, Magi, ooh, hey, Stormbringers, they're sending stuff our way, and so we can play against it. When the enemy sort of like ran out of gas and stopped kind of chucking stuff our way, at first it was like, yay, I can read some books and rest up. And now I'm like, come on, fucking Gobbins, come on, boy, come on, give me some Magi, give me some fucking Stormbringers, give us something that we can fire up the fucking wood chipper. Let's make sure that this thing is still sharpened and properly lubricated. Let's fucking do it. But here we are. Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much of a dirty little bitch is Piggles? I'd say that he's probably an 8 out of 10. One of the reasons why I think that people found why people have started going after Gobbins is not just because I'm talking shit about Elfboy or what have you, is that it's too easy an explanation as to how the entire galaxy has fucked this war up so badly as to just blame Piggles, right? Piggles is a dirty little bitch. He enjoys getting blamed for things. But once we started digging into what was resulting in the strategic delays we see from our enemies, it turns out that Gobbins is legitimately responsible for this. Like, it's not just that we're talking shit about Gobbins because he is the leader of biggest current org in terms of bodies on the field, but because he has repeatedly project managed this thing into the ground. And I'm delighted by that, because, you know, if our enemies were not idiots and Gobbins had not done this, we would be in much deeper shit. I mean, we're not really in deep shit unless we fuck it up and just say, hey, we've won, because we haven't won yet. We still have a shitload of work to do. We've got the Reconquista in the future, but right now we're in the rice fields, and we have all sorts of things to do. And I'm delighted that at every opportunity, Gobbins would pull Pappy off of the field to go off to Iridia, or go off to Fountain, or go off to Esoteria, or anywhere but Delve. And I'm delighted by that. I'm glad that he was there and that. But it's kind of funny because, you know, once you actually, when you're looking for like the true picture of the chessboard and like, why are things today the way that they were? How did Sappy get here when they had the entire galaxy against us? How do they fuck it up so badly that now we are regularly outnumbering them? Not always. We were just outnumbered in that fight where you guys zonked all their fucking Stormbringers and we came out on top. But, you know, that was one of the first situations in a hot minute that I've seen them actually outnumber us on battle report. And that's funny. Like, you know, a year ago today, these motherfuckers were putting 3,000 plus people on the field, and now here they are. And I think a lot of that is thanks to Gobbins just wasting so much of their time. Most of the Sappy line members joined this because their leaders got them into it, or because they legitimately were like Gurgoons and hated our guts. And they were promised the assault on the Imperial Palace. They were promised the Siege of Terror. They were promised all sorts of things. And at every single opportunity, Gobbins has taken them to go anywhere but Delph. It's very strange because it does sort of imply that they never really had a good plan to truly take Delph or to burn 1DQ1. We are sort of exploring in that direction to figure out what was really going on. And hopefully I'll have something for you guys that I can release later when it gets to the leaks phase of the war. All right. And yeah, they did hope that we would run. There are some rumors that originally they had intended us to attack them. And like, you know, when they came after us in Cloud Ring during the Jeff deployment, that they had hoped that we would just turn around and attack them or something. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's very interesting. The history of this war is a wild one. So what I really want to just reinforce for you guys as we're having this conversation about the state of play here and the Ricefields thing is, if you are looking for some EVE Online PvP, please do join fleets. You know, as usual on those situations where we need to fire up the wood chipper, because if they're doing something in our vulnerability window, you see a carrier ping, you see an eagle ping, it is incredibly important that you get into those quickly. Speed is really everything in terms of getting the wood chipper up and running, right? Like, if we get it before they drag their asses into 3D, we get easy kills, we get to fire up the wood chipper, and it's hilarious fun, and then they cry and bitch about it. If we slack, if we falter, if we are slow, then they can get past the wood chipper and life gets a little bit more complicated. I don't want us to get the hubris. I don't want us to get to the point where we're like, well, we're talking about the rice fields now and going and joining bomber fleets and things like that. The wood chipper must remain critically important all through the rest of this war, right? You see an eagle ping, you see a carrier ping, you see a super ping, get in there. And the joy is this: if you see us doing this 90% of the time, you're going to get some fucking kill mails about it, because these dumbasses are going to jump into the whipper and, you know, high fives all around. So I just, as we talk about bomber fleets and things, I want to continually reemphasize the critical importance of actually keeping the walls defended, right? It would be really lame if we're like, hey guys, we're running around and doing all the things we're not talking about on a fireside, and then oops, they just rammed a fleet into 3D or 1DQ1 because we got the hubris and were too slow and fat when it came time to log in our fucking carriers and supers and our eagles, right? So that is still super, super, super key. Please do not forget that. Marcus is on his first fireside. Welcome to the side of the good guys, dude. I don't know if you're on the side of the bad guys. You're probably in UV and had nothing to do with that, but out of high sec. So that's actually a pretty good segue into making fun of some of the bad things that the bad guys are doing. One of the things that we are seeing here is, as part of Gobbins's Anything But Delve campaign, is that they have fired up, I can't believe it, I like having to even say this out loud, is so, it's just like the lamest, oldest, coldest, dumbest puppy bullshit. Pickle Rick. They have named their high sec ganking project to hunt down goon alts Pickle Rick, which is just about the most puppy fucking thing I can imagine. You know, I guess Pickle Rick jokes were cool several years ago. And then Rick and Morty people, Rick and Morty fans, which were awful, like our enemies, kind of ruined it for everyone by being such lame ass pubbies that I cringe to even admit that I like really liked the most recent, you know, season 5, episode 1 of Rick and Morty. I think Rick and Morty is a cool show, but I don't like to talk about it because of dumbass fucking pubbies who do things like this. So Anywhere But Delve geniuses over there have decided that they have figured out who all of your high sec alts are and have they're trying to divert 100 people or more away from T5ZI, who scamper off to high sec and gank goon alts, which are totally real. And Karma Fleet University is getting attacked by this, but not too effectively. We are monitoring the situation. One of the things that I love about our enemies being idiots is that if they hear me complaining about something like this, like if I'm talking shit about Pickle Rick and saying, you know, Jesus, how dumb and awful can you be? Because our enemies are predictable idiots, they will take the bitching about this on the meta show and here on the fireside as evidence that Pickle Rick is actually a cool and good thing, right? If the Mitanni says it's dumb and bad, therefore it must be something that he is scared about. After a certain point, I've become comfortable talking about these parts of things, because I can even say those aren't our high sec alts. Like, they are harassing completely random people. We are tracking this operation. And I hope to have some statistics I can reveal to you on the meta show next week, or Brisk will probably be revealing it. We're monitoring, or we're keeping track of who they're going after. Are they actually goon alts? Because we know who's who. and so I hope that when they hear the recording of me bitching about the Pickle Rick thing, that they decide that they should focus more on it, because it must be getting things. But this is kind of what we're dealing with here, because remember, our enemies desperately want us to attack T5CI. But the people who are running the show over there, namely Elf Boy, don't want to be attacking 1DQ1 anywhere but Delph. And therefore, mining moons in Iridia, trying to set up some sort of like a locust fleet system and diverting their forces to high sec to chase, you know, goon alts. And this is the other thing that's really dumb, because, like, seriously, I don't know if this is like an official, like, you guys have been here for a year. We've been doing this. There's still 843 of you now on this fucking fireside on July 4th. And, obviously, making money at a Latin member level has not been a huge problem for us, because we've had to adapt for the last year getting attacked by everyone. If I could get somebody to link the money-making thread from, you know, the one I always ask for, and then I have to dig for things, but if somebody can help me out here and drop that in Elysium. The dumbest thing about this is that if anybody is really desperate to make money in NullSec compared to more optimal places to do it in the year of our Lord 2021, you want to look for where, like, the goon alts might be. Well, they're probably just hiding in Horde, right? Anybody can join Horde. You can just put a fucking alt in Horde and, hey, you're blue to the entire galaxy. And yet instead, these guys have decided that, you know, they have a list of no less than, you know, 500 goon spies or goon high sec alts, and they're going to run around burning villages in high sec and pissing off the rest of the game that isn't already pissed off at Sappy for being a shitty blue donut. Like, if they want to run around burning hooches, they're just going to create more goons out of it. They're creating little baby VCBs. It's fantastic. All righty. Yeah, and you know, one of the things, Dark Crux brings up an interesting point, which is they shot a boss in 319 with 5 dreads last night, and we killed them. That was another like 90%+ efficiency battle report in the last week or so, thanks to a combination of Gobbins and Hubris. And on the one hand, it doesn't make any sense, right? Why on earth would they be so dumb as to put unsupported dreads on the field in 319, right? On the other hand, it makes perfect sense. And it makes perfect sense because of this. The people who we are fighting that are still out there day after day being led by the Atomic Pancake is the latest dude, or whatever, whichever poor bastard FC is left to kind of clean up the mess. The guys that we are fighting are most likely to be, not all of them, but most likely to be, they're true believers and they're Kool-Aid drinkers. They don't believe a damn thing I say, and if anything I say something, they're going to think the exact opposite of it. So logically, if they believe that the Imperium is conquered and that Delve is safe, then we will see things like that. We will see the people that are still here thinking that they've beaten the Goonie Menace are gonna go out there and do that kind of shit, which provides lots of opportunities for us. I mean, I think it's fantastic. I think that we should continue maintaining that Delve is absolutely safe, because, you know, if these people can be lulled into drinking the Kool-Aid and believing their dumbass leaders with their Pickle Ricks and their Iridia moon mining, hopefully that'll set up a lot more unsupported dread things, because they don't believe that we're a danger, because either we're contained or we have no influence, or there's something about Librium, or I don't know what the latest excuse is. The important thing is this: as long as our enemies are maintaining the lie that we are contained and that we have no influence, or that it is a cold war, or that they have to maintain an equilibrium, the excuse changes each week. And each week that goes by, they will scream more desperately for us to attack T5ZI. The reason behind this is, if we don't give them a big official reason, like announcing that we're going to attack T5ZI or doing it or some sort of dumbass thing like that, They have to maintain the lie to their line members that still believe this, that everything is fine, right? And if they have to admit that things are not fine, that goons aren't contained, or it isn't an equilibrium, or it isn't a Cold War, and we haven't announced some sort of big, you know, we're going to attack T5's guy, then that's a really bad thing for their members, right? Because their members have been spoon-fed, oh, we're winning, everything's fine, oh, they're contained, everything is great, and it's difficult for our enemies to pivot to fixing their shit, or admitting that they even need to be in a anything other than burning 1 to Q1 down offensive posture is something that's going to be difficult for them, I think. So cool, right? I'm happy. If they want to tell everybody that they're in equilibrium and keep feeding us dreads and stupid Goblins doctrines and Storm Ringers and whatever, you know, welcome to the rice fields, motherfucker, right? Like, shit's going on, but we're not going to tell them what's going on. We're doing things. Get out there and practice your fucking F2s. There's lots of opportunities there to fuck with bubbies. Okay. Let me talk about a couple of other random little things here. This is sort of important, especially if you're new and using Pigeon. So Pigeon for Jabber is one of the most awkward kind of programs. And even though I've been doing this for however long we've been using fucking Jabber, which is like north of a, you know, past a decade now, you still learn certain things. So for example, if you didn't know, if you're in a whole bunch of different like Jabber rooms, you can tile your Jabber windows, your Jabber rooms, like vertically. They don't have to go across the very top. There's a setting for that, so you don't have to have your Jabber windows going all the way across the top, which is important if you have like 30 fucking Jabber channels. And I was complaining about this. Yeah, I know, mind fucking blown. There's a dark mode, where there's a Goonswarm dark mode. There is, you can set vertical tabs for this. And then there's something else that I myself only realized thanks to one of our directors yesterday on the Illume meeting. I was bitching about this. You can set it such that when Jabber boots up, it will actually maintain the order that you had set for your Jabber windows. And here is a little image. Yeah, I know. Seriously, dude. I have been doing this for fucking decades. And every time Jabber reboots, I have to manually reorder my channels, because I'm terrible at computer. Check this shit out. I just dropped a link there. And I forgot it was Robin Hood or Rat Knight or one of the boys in Illume made this. Whichever one of you actually did this, I love you and you're fantastic. But I mixed up the R names. But anyway, so this is just to make life a little bit easier this way. If you do this and you change the settings such that you're moving things to manually set on that, then you can diddle with this in your buddy list. And then when you reboot your fucking Jabber, you will no longer have to diddle with getting the order you want. Robin Hood or Ranger, I forget who. Thank you. It was one of the R names. Yeah. So that's one of the things, is keep in mind, we are one of the only organizations that uses Jabber at this scale, and there are definitely a bunch of arcane things about it. So I just wanted to share the love with everybody such that your lives can be a little bit easier and a little bit less frustrating. So high fives all around. All right. So a couple of other things. NGSA. We haven't talked about NGSA in a hot minute. Can we get a link to the NGSA thread? A part of the Rice Fields phase, of course, is welcoming people who are motherfuckers to the Rice Fields. And as part of that, I'm sure you've noticed that we've been ganking a lot of super carriers and carriers and dreadnoughts yesterday. And just, it's a fucking slaughter out there. So, you know, get out there and grab them by the belt. Practice your F2s. Like, there's never been a better time to learn how to, like, hunt around in a fucking Hecate. How do you fucking pronounce that? Everybody always gets it wrong, including me. Anyway, you get back out there, you do this, you learn some interesting skills, and you kill some fucking puppies. And while you're doing it, make sure that you're involved with NGSA, because that way you can line up targets for all of our boys in bombers. So make everybody happy, including our hood rats. Make sure you're involved with NGSA and you scout the bad guys to help line up these kills. We want to take advantage of the enemy's refusal to alert their people to the danger. As long as our enemy is willing to say that, you know, they can go mine in Iridia, that they can go gank goons in high sec who are totally actually goons, and that goons are contained and have no influence, and there's an equilibrium here at home. As long as they are preaching to their line members that still believe them that Delve is safe, we want to repeat to them that Delve is safe, because we're out there in the rice fields grabbing these motherfuckers by the belt, right? And that's what we're going to keep doing, because until the enemy says, hey, we have a problem here, guys, if their line is there is no problem, if their line is pure denial, that means that they're going to keep putting expensive shit that they can't replace on the field. And the people who are going to be losing these things are their dead enders, their true believers, the guys that moved all of their stuff into Dell, Aquarius, and Period Basis, guys that drank all of the Kool-Aid, the guys that do not listen to a thing that any of us say, and in fact will blindly believe the opposite. You know, when those guys lose fucking supercarriers to us because Dell is safe, you know, I want to keep that shit going for as long as possible, because they're not going to be able to replace that stuff. So yeah, I'm pretty happy with this. No complaints there. Okay. And yeah, as Heidi is pointing out here, their hardliners are in for a rude surprise. Like, it's not that they're going to be in for a rude surprise. They are in for a rude, like, they are having a rude surprise right now. But most of them are not realizing that, you know, their leaders were lying to them until it's too late. Like, when their dreadnought fleets get blown up, when their supercarriers get blown up, when their citadels go abandoned and we steal all of their shit, and meanwhile it's taking them, you know, 3 weeks to get SRP. The important thing is this, guys. It's like that classic old quote about how you can feel fool some of the people all the time, blah, 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 is the people who are still here that are fighting us day after day and losing things stupidly to us, those are the people that have bought in fully to the Goblin stuff and bought in fully to the rest of it. And I think that we should exploit the hell out of their ignorance and blind faith for as long as they will allow us to exploit their ignorance and blind faith, because they're our enemies. Those true believers, the people that are here that are putting their stuff out on the field, everybody else who was smart and realized that this thing was horseshit has fucked off a long time ago, right? Most of them fucked off in mid-April into May, when we were defending the walls of Constantinople. And those that are here are the dead enders, and I believe that they should be punished as much as possible. Like, if they truly believe that we are dead and gone and contained and all that stuff, those are either bitter enemies because they're dumb and blind and still hate us, or they're just targets of opportunity. Either way, they should go. So keep killing them. Okay. Let me go ahead and take some questions here in general. Again, last couple of firesides have been super herfety blurf, and I haven't had a chance to really do like a proper Q&A. So if you got questions, throw them in chat, and I will see what I see. Ron, PGL, and Villy all started playing Star Citizen again. I believe that with Ron. I'm not so sure about PGL and Villy because I haven't checked it, but I don't know whether this guy is joking about that or if he's telling the truth, because it could well be. Do I think that they're taking this opportunity? Good question here from Gene Man. He asked me, do I think that they're taking this opportunity to try and scrounge together materials and resources to help fund their shitty war machine? I don't think that's necessarily the case. I mean, it could be in theory, but mostly what I'm seeing is like, you know when a little kid doesn't want to eat their vegetables and they are told they can't leave the table until they do or whatever, and they just end up like pushing the food around the plate, just sort of playing for time and just sort of magically hoping that eventually they'll be able to wait out and go away? I think that's what they're doing. They're just moving their food around the fucking plate. That none of them want to admit that the war is fucked up or that they whiffed it. And because they're going to refuse to admit that for as long as possible, and there's no one really in charge, there's nobody over there that's going to be able to pull the plug on the thing. And in the absence of leadership, especially when you see these council systems, the enemy isn't officially a council system, but practically speaking, SAPI's org structure is very reminiscent of council systems we've seen and fought over the years in EVE Online. And as you know, anytime that there's a council system, you know, that's how Gobbins ended up in charge of this thing by accident, basically, because anytime a difficult decision has to get made, everybody who wants to dodge responsibility, and, you know, we're talking about people like Pro God Legend and Villy, like they are responsibility dodgers par excellence. Those guys scamper. And then Gobbins is sitting there going, well, I guess we can go to Iridia. Well, I guess we can, you know, make some Bouchers. Well, I guess we can do some stuff with Edencom. Well, I guess we can do some stuff in HiSec, right? And that is why the war has taken as long as it has. And that is how Gobbins is responsible for pissing away all of their participation and their effectiveness, is that he is left to pick up the mess when the responsibility dodgers run away from the responsibility. And then Gobbins steers the campaign at every opportunity away from Delve. And that's great. That's great. We should send him a fucking thank you card. Right? Like, I think it's fantastic. I love it. I want to pinch his little elf boy cheeks. I used to be mad at him, but I think that I've gotten a better understanding of what's going on, and I'm pretty pleased with it. I'm delighted for him to talk about how important it is to go mine things in fucking Iridia. Anything but Delve. Anything but Delve. Here's a question. Do I think that they are feeling the shit situation that they're in, or are they trying to deny it? Yes. I mean, if somebody is trying to deny the situation, they are inherently feeling the situation that they're trying to deny. Absolutely. I mean, just look at their numbers, right? Does this look like a force that is going to successfully burn 1DQ1? It might be if we fuck up. It might be if we give them free boosts in participation by like charging into T5ZI and attacking the Keepstar, which we're not going to do. And that's why they want us to do it, right? Like, that is their way of getting their people back and having hope and stuff like that, is us overreaching loudly and publicly and trying to do something that would be strategically dumb, like attacking their Golden Bridge of Retreat. But yeah, I mean, I think that the adults in the room are aware of what's going on, and it's like a musical chairs game in reverse, right? They're all wanting to dodge the bar tab of, oh shit, we fucked it up, you know. If you guys heard the clips that Brisk played yesterday from Vince's town hall, Vince was basically like, yeah, you know, credit to Goons. Like, they adapted to our strategies and they've done a very good job of defending things. And, you know, if you want to go outside, you can go outside, right? So, you know, Vince is an adult. NC Dot's involvement in the war has plummeted over the last couple months because he's a fucking adult. But none of them, and I don't blame them for this, right? I want to make it very clear what I'm about to say. I do not blame the sappy leadership for making the decisions that they are making here, because it makes perfectly rational sense. None of them want to get stuck with the bill of fucking the war up, which is why we're pointing out to everybody everywhere all the time that the bill should be left with Gobbins, right? Like, he is the guy that is actually responsible for driving their momentum into the ground by diverting their forces at every obstacle anywhere but Delve, right? So that's what's happening. I don't think that you're going to see these guys throw in the towel and say, you know, there's no one person in charge to go, okay, guys, we fucked up, or sorry, we'll try it again in a few years, right? There is nobody on their side that is going to do that. So they're all just kind of quietly doing the Irish goodbye thing as best they can. If Sappy were stupid enough to let T5ZI run out of fuel and go abandoned, would we kill it then? That might happen. I mean, I don't think it's going to go out of fuel and go abandoned, but the intention is that the very last hostile Keepstar in Delve to die will be T5ZI, and then we will plant the fuck palace right where it used to be, just to put some salt in the fucking wound. Eve Vegas, Isomark points out. Yeah, can we get some links to Eve Vegas? So this is, I'm fucking pumped for this. Eve Vegas this year is going to be awesome. Can we get a link to the Eve Vegas thread, please? I don't care if it's bingo bait or not. Like, we need to talk about eVegas. So that shit is coming up in October, I believe 22nd to 24th, if we got the dates right. And this year we're going to be staying on Fremont Street in a pretty badass new setup there. We've always stayed on the Strip before, and we've always visited Fremont Street. And I think that actually staying in a hotel/casino that is like right there in the thick of things is going to be a shitload of fun, because instead of like going to visit Fremont Street, it will just always be there. So we are going to get super fucked up. We're going to have a goddamn blast. And I expect it's going to be just a fantastic party, because I remember what FanFest was like after we won the Great War. So, I will see y'all there, and I am really looking forward to it. Thank fuck. I have missed Vegas so badly. Seriously. Can I talk about mining in the face of enemy aggression in our constellations? I want to help more besides ADM fleets. I'm not qualified to talk about mining. I think that if... Yeah, I don't really know how to answer that question. Like, if you want to mine, do it on ADM fleets, and beyond that, you could talk to your other... Like, I would recommend not doing it in Delve. I mean, if you know what you're doing, you know what you're doing. Most people have like high sec mining alts at this point, but this is really like not my territory. There's better qualified people to answer that question in Elysium.
I'll point out what Logan Wolfex said. The Electric Daisy Carnival, a big EDM concert, was rescheduled to the same weekend as Eve Vegas a couple months ago. It's still a delayed one from 2020, so there's going to be a ton of people in town. If you have not booked and you're coming, you really want to book ASAP.
Thank you. All right, let's see what else we got. Yeah, there's no problem about asking the question, Charlie, like, you know, the mining thing. Like, I just try to stay in my lane. I don't necessarily know enough about, like, the I think most of our guys are like mining in high sec or in other places or on their herd alts that they want to do it, because null sec mining is mainly useful for ADM generation now or on moons. Like, I guess the best answer is we have Athanor timers. Oh, Sniper Eagle already answered this for me, which is if you look on our forums, there's like we have moon timers on goonfleet.com that will show you when those moons will pop. And those are the ops that you would want to join for actual mining. Do we know what the chances are for FanFest 2022? I'm going to operate under the assumption that FanFest 2022 is probably going to happen, because I expect that most of the developed world will have been vaccinated by the time we get around there. That's usually in April. I can't speak officially on that. There's been like no official anything, but I expect that by the time that we get to next year, the world will have opened up a bit more. All righty. Could I announce that all goons will invade the Thera wormhole? It would be a shame for all of us if Sappy were waiting for us in Thera. You know, the funny thing about this is that they are very much chasing shadows, right? Like, I don't even think that most of our guys need Horde alts to do this, but just hypothetically, if you wanted to do traditional nullsec, ratting, and mining, whatever, anybody can join Horde on an alt, right? So like they're sitting around and going, hey, we're gonna chase goons in high sec and gank them in high sec, and they're not actually getting actual goons thus far. I think so far our losses, because I think Azo got caught in like a fucking badger or something, I think we've lost 19 million ISK to Pickle Rick so far, and they've blown up like 52 billion ISK worth of unaffiliated bubby things. It's just amazing to me. I love it. I want them to keep doing it. I love this Pickle Rick thing. I hate saying Pickle Rick. I think it's lame as fuck. But if they want to pull people away from T5ZI to chase ghosts and misinterpret what I'm saying here on the fireside as an indication that I'm lying about it and they, you know, should redouble and triple their efforts, you know, good luck. God bless, guys, right? Like, if you want to find goon alts, they're all in fucking Horde already, dumbasses. But, you know, we want to encourage this. This is great. It's great. It's like what I said. I want to like pinch Elfboy's little cheeks now. I ain't mad at him now that I have a better understanding of what's going on. Is, you know, go to Iridia, and mine, you know, do locust fleets in Iridia. Anything but Delve is Gobbins' line, and anywhere but Delve, anything but Delve, as far away as possible. Go to high sec, go to Iridia, chase the goon anywhere but where the goon is. High fives all around.
Yeah, good time to plug Insurgent Squad if you want to know more about joining board.
I'm going to actually include the hostile alt policy. So this is very important. Since I am joking here on the fireside about how you could just join Horde if you wanted to do this, we do have systems of identifying people who are agents and people who are hostile spies. So make sure if you do put alts into Horde, please, 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 for fuck's sake, don't just listen to me on the fireside talking about ha ha ha, you can do it. Make sure that if you infiltrate a hostile organization to take advantage of the fact that the entire galaxy is blue, not that it's necessary, like if this was necessary for us to make ISK, we would have been pushing it thus far. But we do have a hostile alt policy that I just linked here in Jabber, and you must register your hostile alts, because otherwise our counterintelligence guys will pick you up and we will red flag you and start investigating, because we will, you know, if we find your alt in Horde through our means, we will go, oh, is this person a Horde spy or whatever? So make sure you register your hostile alt so the Black Hand doesn't come for you in the night. And beyond that, once you do it, it's all smiles and roses. So also, maybe you can do a little spying as an F2. It's a tough duty, but it's honest work. And yes, join the Black Hand. It is difficult to describe how much brain damage you can suffer being in these puppy organizations, right? Like reading long pubby chat logs is just like bottom of the barrel incel Twitch chat shit. It's all like poggers and like no kissing girls, and it's bad. It's real bad. So we can't say who they are, but I mean, my god, the guys in the Black Hand who've been doing this for this entire fucking year, is they deserve all of the love and the hugs we can give them, but we can't tell anybody who they are or what they've done. But just know I understand your pain, and I appreciate your sacrifices to all of your dead brain cells from reading this shit over the last year. Is there a safe word if you get grabbed by the Black Hand? I'm into it, but I do have some hard limits. You know, I don't think you need to make it fancy. I've always been a fan of yellow and red, right? Just yellow and red gets the job done as far as gradations there. I think that if you're starting out with that kind of thing, you know, people tend to overcomplicate it. Yellow and red just gets the job done. There's a good question from Overveer. Can we get the Fit Validator updated with the new fits and ships? I don't know what's not on there, and I'm really glad that you brought that up. Let me make a note of that. Can somebody who has their fingers on the controls that is listening to this do that? Which ones are missing, Overveer? Do you know offhand? So while I'm doing this, I've got like a Notepad plus up here on my screen, and like when people ask questions or bring up org things that I'm like, oh shit, I need to look at that, then I just copy and paste it, try to make a note to follow up with it later. The Jackdaw isn't updated. Okay, see, there you go. Arindus is saying that there's some dev stuff and they're working on it. The system works. Even when the system is broken, the system works in the process of fixing it. So that is cool and good. Okay. Well, I want to thank you all for coming here today. Again, like I said, sort of a chill Q&A fireside to give everybody a recap. Remember, the Regunquista will not be televised. Join fleets. If you see bomber ops, get in there, do some things. We're not going to be saying what they are. Just get in there. If you see a ping for eagles, you get in your eagle ASAP. If you see a ping for carriers and supercarriers, you get in there ASAP. I do not want us to be slacking on turning on the fucking wood chipper just because things are heading in a direction that we like. Join NGSA. Develop your F2s. While you're out there in the rice fields, this is a perfect opportunity for you to get out there, to make mistakes, to figure things out, and it's all under the table. It's a fantastic opportunity. We are surrounded by enemies. The situation is excellent, if we are attacking, we're going to lie about it because, again, the Regunquista will not be televised. So thank you all for coming. I will see you guys back out there. Let's keep on keeping on, and we'll see you next week. Fuck all puppies forever.